Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel, and bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. So, children, do you know that today is a special Sunday? It's called Reformation Sunday. And the Reformation is when the church, about in the 1500s, was saying there was such a big difference between those who are on the top and those who are on the bottom. And those who are on top were people who were the leaders of the church, but the people on the bottom were the people that go to church. And they were, for example, they couldn't read the scriptures because they were in a language that only the people on the top of the church could read. Latin, exactly. Wow, you know. I should help you teach this. I got to dumb it down for myself. Okay, well, let's get to what I know best, and that's teaching songs. We're going to sing the third verse of a song called The Butterfly Song. And the butterfly song begins with a wiggly worm. So, and it goes like this. If I were a wiggly worm, I'd thank you, Lord, that I could squirm. And if I were a crocodile, I'd thank you, Lord, for my big smile. And if I were a fuzzy wuzzy bear, I thank you, Lord, for my fuzzy wuzzy hair. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me, not you, but me. Because you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. You gave me, Lord Jesus, and you made me your child. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me, not you, but me. Okay, so you got the actions. You guys stand up. The reason I love this part about the wiggly worm, because that is how, in fact, we understand the song. It tells about everything in all creation has a very positive thing to offer. And wiggly worms squirm, but I had a garden once. It didn't have any worms in it, and nothing would grow in it because the ground was so hard and compact. So I had to introduce worms to the ground so that it could break up the ground and the plants could grow and the roots could get going. So wiggly worms even have a very important role. And then there's also about a bear, and I have a bear in her Halloween costume. He's all dressed up for Halloween, and that's a fuzzy wuzzy bear. So you guys do what I do and sing with me this song about the butterflies. Here, let's get the worms squirming. Crocodile's coming up next. If I were a wiggly worm, I thank you, Lord, that I could squirm. And if I were a crocodile, I thank you, Lord, for my big smile. And if I were a fuzzy wuzzy bear, I thank you, Lord, for my fuzzy wuzzy hair. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Not you, but me. Because you gave me a heart and you gave me a smile. Gave me, Lord Jesus, and you made me your child. But I just thank you, Father, for making me me. Not you, but me. All right, good job. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to pray a prayer. You're going to repeat it after me, every phrase, okay? So I say a couple words, you repeat them back. Dear Jesus, we thank you for making us all special. And for making your whole creation special. Help us to use our gifts to benefit the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. You guys can go to Sunday school, and thank you for helping me teach that song. There's no Sunday school today. All right, Pastor, you got to get on board here. Bring all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
A reading from Jeremiah. Although our iniquities testify against us, act, O Lord, for your name's sake. Our apostasies indeed are many, and we have sinned against you. O hope of Israel, its Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a stranger in the land, like a traveler turning aside for the night? Why should you be like someone confused, like a mighty warrior who cannot give help? Yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not forsake us. Thus says the Lord concerning his people, truly they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. Have you completely rejected Judah? Does your heart loathe Zion? Why have you struck us down so that there is no healing for us? We look for peace but find no good, for of time of healing, but there is terror instead. We acknowledge our wickedness, O Lord, the iniquity of our ancestors, for we have sinned against you. Do not spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor your glorious throne. Remember and do not break your covenant with us. Can any idols of the nations bring rain, or can the heavens give showers? Is it not you, O Lord our God? We set our hope on you, for it is you who do all this. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 84 responsively. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, indeed it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they grow through the valley of Baca, they may get a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 2 Timothy. As for me, I am already poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So I missed you last week. Pastor Dave was here. Pastor Dave is my home pastor. I attend my home church now is Christ Lutheran Pacific Beach. So he had me help him out at our church as I was officiating, and there had an intern preaching at the time. So I had a Sunday off in effect. But pleased to have you here. But also I want to remind you of when I was with you 2 weeks ago. I talked to you about the beginning verses of the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And the opening verses of that 17th chapter talk about sin. And it has three things to say about sin. First of all, Jesus teaches that sin, the temptation to sin, comes to us all. And the word stumbling could be used as another translation of that. So it's a very positive view of being a sinner. You just stumble. You're on the right path. You're just stumbling along that path. And so it helps us understand that God isn't really looking down with can't wait to catch you in something that's wrong kind of attitude. It's not like that at all. He just has this compassion. The whole understanding of Jesus being a physician too, healing those who are sick. You can't take fault for being sick, but Jesus is there to heal you. And so it's a very compassionate, caring understanding of being a sinner. Until you read the next verse. And then the next verse says that if you were to cause someone else to sin, if you become an advocate for sin, then it would be better for a great millstone to be hung around your neck and you were tossed in the depths of the sea. Wow. And I said, I don't believe God punishes. But I believe what that is telling us is that there's a consequence for sin when it is promoted among us. And that sin is separation. It is going to leave us separated as a community, as a people of faith, and we have to beware that we don't get into that issue of being an advocate for sin. Stumbling's one thing, being an advocate for another is a totally other thing. And then there's a section on forgiveness. If somebody sins against you, you're supposed to rebuke them, tell them that you've hurt them, that you've sinned against them, but then if they repent, you must, it says, you must forgive them. And if they do it 7 times in a day, you must forgive them 7 times. Amazing. Now, I believe that Jesus, when these gospel writers are put together, that they try to illustrate what Jesus is saying. And our lesson for today, which is from the 18th chapter of Luke's gospel, is a beautiful illustration of that nature of sin. And so it begins, and there's 2 different translations I'd like to share with you. For this
translation today, it says, those who trusted in themselves and treated others with contempt. Those who trusted in themselves and treated others with contempt. The version I like better is, some who were confident in their own righteousness
and looked down upon everyone else. Isn't that say it? That says it. Some who were confident in their own righteousness and look down upon everyone else. Then Jesus tells the parable. And the parable is about a Pharisee and a tax collector. The Pharisee, or the religious leader, is someone who is confident in themselves, who looks down upon others. And so when he prays, he doesn't pray anything of any kind of fault whatsoever. In fact, he's boasting that he's so much better than everybody else. So he says, God, I am thankful that I'm not like other sinners who are robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like that tax collector over there. So the first part to me is that could be an honest mistake. To be proud of, you know, that, you know, you're not a, some of the most identifiable sins aren't in your case. I still think they probably are, but at the same time, that's stumbling. But as soon as the Pharisee points out someone who's standing next to him and says, I'm certainly glad I'm not like this tax collector, then all of a sudden, the great millstone is hung around the neck and he's tossed in the depths of the sea because the separation is enormous between him and this tax collector in that community. Especially considering he's a religious leader. And he's supposed to be there to bring people together rather than to separate. And then he boasts about fasting twice a week and giving 10% of his income. But all that means nothing when you're harsh to your neighbor. And then, of course, that last part, you have the tax collector who beats his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All of a sudden, we realize the important value of repentance and forgiveness. All you have to do is to be acknowledging your own sinfulness, be sorry for that sin as a repentant sinner, and God will certainly forgive you as we are to forgive one another. I think it's a beautiful thing, and it's a beautiful verse. And then Jesus puts it all together. And Jesus says, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted. I'd like to give some illustrations of both of those. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. If I was to just ask you generally in our culture, who are those who are confident in their own righteousness and who look down upon others, wouldn't you automatically say politicians? I would automatically say that. And I'm not talking about a particular political party. I'm talking about both sides of the aisle. So proud about what they have to offer and having no concept whatsoever that someone next to them has something good to offer. It is the plague of our democracy. Our elected leaders who don't see the compassion of being a leader and how they need to not elevate themselves to such a degree that they can't care for what someone else has to say and what they're all about. It's a sad thing. But it's also a great lesson for Reformation Sunday. Janine had the correct lessons for Reformation Sunday. It's not this lesson. This is the so many Sundays after Pentecost. But this is a great lesson for Reformation. Because that time of Jesus, Martin Luther, and the elevation of the church and the separation between the church as it was trying to sell indulgences, which was somehow giving them license on a made-up, fictitious understanding of purgatory, which was some kind of punishment between heaven and this world and heaven. All of that had to do with separating themselves as being better than everybody else, and then just wanting their money so that they could build bigger and better churches, which were, you know, in the offering and they were in debt for. It's so sad. And yet here comes Martin Luther. Martin Luther comes along and he says, that's not what the church is all about. That's not what Jesus is all about. That's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say that we are to be humble. And so he brings down those who are exalting themselves and humbles them by telling the people that they are the priesthood of all believers. That was so unheard of. I mean, that's such a radical view of Christian faith of that time, that there's somehow a connection with priesthood and all believers and not just the few chosen or the few that are privileged in the church. And then, as I was told by the Sunday school children, it was Latin, which was the understanding, was how the Mass was said, and it was also the language of the scriptures. And Martin Luther changed both, wanting to have people understand what's happening in the Mass, in the worship service, and also translating the Bible into the language of the common people. Because it was something that needed to be shared with all people, and not just the few special, the proud, and the arrogant. Then, what does it mean for us to humble ourselves and we'll be exalted? Well, again, I believe the scriptures, if you read it this way, always illustrates what it's trying to say. In this little section that comes following this section is about children. There's children that are coming to Jesus and the disciples rebuke them. And Jesus says, don't rebuke the children. Let them come to me, for of such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you shall never enter it. That's a beautiful statement about becoming childlike in our faith. What does it mean to be childlike? Well, your preschool is teaching me that. When I go to preschool, I do chapel twice a week on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I'm teaching them these songs. And they are just soaking it up. I mean, it's just amazing how they are so enjoying learning about faith. And of the 58 families that are in our preschool, only one comes to our church. So it's telling that somehow we need to share that faith with those preschool families, because I'm doing it and the children love it. And I think the parents are ripe for this now. And so whenever I walk by to the office, by the playground, it's all, Pastor Rick, Pastor Rick, Pastor Rick. And I gotta sit and talk to him, and I'm like a rock star. And I can't get over it, you know. I'm just being, my ego is just being smooth, and I gotta say, calm down, guy, calm down, you know. Be humble. The children are lifting you up. But at the same time, realize that they're hungry for this, that they really enjoy. And then I've got parents who tell me that when their children come home, I've had two parents talk to me unannounced. And they come to me and they say, my son or my daughter, they're singing all these songs when they get home, and I'm not sure what they're all singing about. And one said that their four-year-old said, Lexa, sing Apple in the Tree. And she said, you must sing a song called Apple in the Tree. I said, no, we don't sing a song like that, but we do sing about I am the vine, he are the branches, and I brought an apple out that showed them that this is what you need to produce fruit. So they thought maybe it was called that. So, Lexa, sing Apple in the Tree. And she said, Lexa didn't have any idea what he was talking about. The other message that comes later on is, oddly enough, the lesson that Pastor Dave gave you last week. And it's the lesson on a rich man comes and says, good Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, in typical humble fashion, says, no one's good. I'm not good. Only God is good. And in other words, he's not claiming to be God. He's letting them see the connection between God and Jesus in that goodness. And then he talks about how if you're going to be good, you need to keep all the commandments. And in a proud fashion, the rich man says, I've done that since I was a boy. And Jesus says, well, if you want to be perfect, I'll tell you what you do. Sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me and you will have riches in heaven. And the rich man goes away sorrowful. Those who are exalted will be humbled. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. May God help us to learn how to humble ourselves and to lead this world in such a way that our humility will be something that they will be truly inspired by, both politically, economically, community-wise, so that we can be people of the God that this world needs. And this world needs that God, because this world doesn't know anything about that God. This God of humility, the God that gives and shares, even sacrificing his own life on a cross. That's the God we serve, and the God we represent. Amen.